us, you know, we're tied so much to our sources and, you know, the story, the incomplete story, right? Of course it's incomplete, right? But the incomplete story that they're telling. So, that's how I got into it. And then, like I said, I think my graduate advisor really challenged me to, you know, to push the boundary and to use these archives on both sides of the border. You know, he said, you know, you're bilingual, you know, you've grown up in, you know, both of these places, you know, just go for it, you know, kind of thing. And so I think, I really, you know, I dug into archives.
The number you have reached has been disconnected.
You're listening to WGXC ACRA, Hudson, Catskill, 90.7 FM. We're here for you.
Carmen Borgia,
and we're the hosts of Ukuleles Unleashed. Tune in the third Tuesday of each month from 8 to 10 p.m. to hear the latest,
the hottest, the most raging work
going on in the world of ukuleles.
We'll always have a few friends join us to discuss the finer details of this perfectly fine instrument. Join us as we have a listen to a uke or two.
Ukuleles Unleashed
on WGXC Acre 90.7.
Hi, this is Miles from Hudson. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA Hudson Catskill.
C
Survive All, one of the nation's leading manufacturers of fallout shelters, now combines sturdy steel with durable concrete block for
a civil defense approved basement type do-it-yourself fallout shelter.
Ensure protection for your family. See a Survive All shelter today.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Laura of Skodak Landing, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
WGXC helps you sleep at night and stay awake in the daytime. Whether at work or play, in good times and in bad, no matter the weather, community radio brings you local news, agricultural information, music and sounds, oratory, and radio stews.
90.7 FM, WGXC.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC News Update. Go to the WGXC Newsroom, WGXC.org, for more information about any of these stories. Andrea Macko reports at Porcupine Soup that as a horrific police beating video is released in Memphis, in Greene County, Hunter Mountain officials took down a photo they posted of the East Coast Police Winter Games from January 18th and 19th. The image removed showed skiing officers displaying thin blue line flags. Hunter Mountain posted on social media that, quote, in celebrating the 27th annual New York Police Department ski races, a photo including thin blue line flags was posted. Feedback on the post was swift, leading us to remove the photo and work to better understand its undertones and meaning. We will continue to have conversations about this internally and do better to ensure that inclusivity is conveyed and celebrated in all that we do, unquote. The group Anti-Racist Catskills thanked Hunter Mountain on social media, writing, quote, we hope that your actions to remove these photos show a good faith effort to do the right thing and was not merely an attempt to cover hide your actions, unquote. Other comments on social media attacked Hunter Mountain for removing the photo. Read more about the story at Porcupine Soup. Rachel Silberstein reports in the Times Union that the Schoharie County government is defying a state order to reinstate their health director. Dr. Amy Gildermeister was unanimously approved for a new contract by the County Board of Health, but the Supervisors Board has refused to authorize her salary because she enforced mask mandates and advocated for vaccines during the COVID-19 pandemic. Gildermeister's previous term ended on January 21st, and Gildermeister had been going into the office since then, as directed by Acting State Health Commissioner James V. McDonald, who in a January 12th letter advised that only members of the County Health Board, not legislators, have the legal authority to appoint or remove a county health official. Quote, finding no evidence that the Schoharie County Board of Health engaged in the required removal proceeding or provided Dr. Gildermeister an opportunity to be heard, I must also find that the Board of Supervisors' attempt to remove Dr. Gildermeister is null and void as a matter of law, unquote, McDonald wrote. But this week, Gildermeister's access to her office has been restricted. A spokesperson for the State Department of Health says the agency will take enforcement action against the Schoharie County Board of Supervisors. More than half of the state's county public health leaders have left their jobs since the start of the COVID-19 health crisis, including, in recent weeks, the health directors in Columbia and Greene counties. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Heather Bellow reports in the Berkshire Eagle that Great Barrington Select Board Housing Subcommittee Chair Lee Davis is proposing a real estate tax break for anyone who offers year-round affordable rentals on a portion of their property. If the Great Barrington Board approves the idea, the proposal could come before town voters in an annual town meeting in May. Officials are looking at an affordable housing rental exemption in Provincetown as an example of one way to help the affordable housing crisis locally. Davis said, quote, it encourages affordable housing within neighborhoods and it's a scattered sites approach, unquote. The entire area has seen soaring housing prices in recent years and a shortage of affordable housing. Davis also wants the town to consider levying a 0.5% to 2% fee on some real estate transactions to add to the town's Affordable Housing Trust Fund. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org.
The Belmarsh Tribunals demand justice for Julian Assange. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan, and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. The first casualty when war comes is truth. So said U.S. Senator Hiram Johnson of California in 1929, debating ratification of the Kellogg-Briand Pact, a noble but ultimately failed attempt to ban war. Reflecting on World War I, which ended a decade earlier, he continued, "It begins what we were so familiar with only a brief period ago, this mode of propaganda whereby people become war-hungry in their patriotism and are lied into a desire to fight. We've seen it in the past. It will happen again in the future," he said. Time and again, Hiram Johnson has been proven right. Our government's impulse to control information and manipulate public opinion to support war is deeply ingrained. The past 20 years, dominated by the so-called war on terror, are no exception. Sophisticated PR campaigns, a compliant mass media, and the Pentagon's pervasive propaganda machine all work together, as public intellectual Noam Chomsky and the late Professor Ed Herman defined it in the title of their groundbreaking book, Manufacturing Consent, borrowing a phrase from Walter Lippmann, considered the father of public relations. One publisher consistently challenging the pro-war narrative pushed by the U.S. government under both Republican and Democratic presidents has been the whistleblower website WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks gained international attention in 2010 after publishing a trove of classified documents leaked from the U.S. military. Included were numerous accounts of war crimes in Iraq and Afghanistan, the killing of civilians, and shocking footage of a helicopter gunship in Baghdad slaughtering a dozen civilians, including a Reuters journalist and his driver, on the ground below. WikiLeaks titled that video Collateral Murder. The New York Times and other newspapers partnered with WikiLeaks to publish stories based on the leaks. This brought increased attention to the founder and editor-in-chief of WikiLeaks, Julian Assange. In December 2010, 2 months after the release of the collateral murder video, then-Vice President Joe Biden, appearing on NBC, said Assange was
closer to being a high-tech terrorist than the Pentagon Papers.
Biden was referring to the 1971 classified document released by Daniel Ellsberg, which revealed years of Pentagon lies about U.S. involvement in the war in Vietnam. With a secret grand jury impaneled in Virginia, Assange, then in London, feared being arrested and extradited to the United States. Ecuador granted Assange political asylum. Unable to make it to Latin America, he sought refuge in the Ecuadorian embassy in London. He lived inside the small apartment-sized embassy for almost 7 years. In April 2019, after a new Ecuadorian president revoked Assange's asylum, British authorities arrested him and locked him up in London's notorious Belmarsh prison, often called Britain's Guantanamo. He's been held there in harsh conditions and in failing health for almost 4 years as the U.S. government seeks his extradition to face espionage and other charges. If extradited and convicted in the U.S., Julian Assange faces 175 years in a maximum security prison. While the conservative-led U.K. government seems poised to extradite Assange, a global movement has grown demanding his release. The Progressive International, a global pro-democracy umbrella group, has convened four assemblies since 2020 called the Belmarsh Tribunals, named after the 1966 Russell Sauch Tribunal on the Vietnam War, convened by philosophers Bertrand Russell and Jean-Paul Sartre. The Belmarsh Tribunal has assembled some of the world's most prominent progressive activists, artists, politicians, dissidents, human rights attorneys, and whistleblowers, all speaking in defense of Julian Assange and WikiLeaks.
We are bearing witness to a travesty of justice.
That's Jeremy Corbyn, a British member of Parliament and a former leader of the Labour Party, speaking at the tribunal.
To an abuse of human rights, to a denial of freedom of somebody who bravely put himself on the line that we all might know that the innocent died in Abu Ghraib, the innocent died in Afghanistan, the innocent are dying in the Mediterranean, and innocents die all over the world where unwatched, unaccountable powers decide it's expedient and convenient to kill people who get in the way of whatever grand scheme they've got. We say no. That's why we are demanding justice for Julian Assange.
Jeremy Corbyn is joined in his call by the New York Times, The Guardian, Le Monde, El País, and Der Spiegel, major newspapers that published articles based on the leaked documents. Publishing is not a crime, the newspapers declared. Never before has a publisher been charged under the U.S. Espionage Act. The Assange prosecution poses a fundamental threat to the freedom of speech and a free press. President Biden, currently embroiled in his own classified document scandal, knows this and should immediately drop the charges against Julian Assange. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast. And for Saturday, January 28th, we start each renewable weather forecast off with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The Milk Run in East Durham has gas at $3.43 a gallon, according to the Gas Buddy website. The air quality forecast is at a 28, which is on the low side, and the UV index for Saturday, January 28th, is just a 2, also low, but sort of high for the winter. And the water temperature in the Hudson River in Albany is 37.31 degrees, almost exactly what the average for the past 10 years has been at this time of year in the Hudson River. National Weather Service in Albany says Saturday should be mostly sunny, with a high of 40 and a south wind 7 to 11 miles per hour from turning to the west in the afternoon and spinning local windmills. Saturday night should be cloudy with a low around 25 and a wind from the south 5 to 7 miles per hour after midnight. Sunday, there is a 40% chance of snow showers before 10 a.m. Then any precipitation should turn to rain as temperatures warm to a high of 43 degrees with cloudy skies, a south wind 10 to 14 miles per hour, and a low around 26 Sunday night. And then Monday should be cloudy with a high of 34 and a low around 21. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.
Most radio shows don't come with a demonstration, but most radio shows aren't Radio Wonderland.
Greatest hits.
Right, so then I take more pieces of live radio, slice them, fit them into the groove, and then in a few minutes you get something like...
In LA, some restrictions apply.
It's radio made completely out of radio. I'm Joshua, but you just call me Radio Wonderland.
10:30 a.m. Saturday mornings till 11.
Some restrictions apply.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Nora E. Edelman of Athens, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
WGXC believes in creative use of the airwaves. WGXC is a program division of the nonprofit arts organization Wave Farm, based in Acre, New York. We are the only station in the country to dedicate significant airtime to radio as an artistic medium. Tune in to transmission art and experimental sound programming overnight and on Saturdays, and hear artists from all over the world who sculpt and compose with the airwaves.
Wave Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wave Farm and WGXC operate and broadcast. The Mohicans name themselves the people of the waters that are never still, following their arrival along the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations and in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For more information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
You
You are tuned to 90.7 FM, WGXC. Hands-on, listener-supported radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
Rehearsing and nursing a part. We know every card by heart. Overture, curtain lights. This is it. We'll hit the heights. And oh, what heights we'll hit. On with the show. This is it. Tonight, what heights we'll hit.
Next, we tune in the latest episode of the I Have Seen Niagara radio theater show from G. Lucas Crane and Rick Royer. The show airs Saturday mornings on the WGXC Morning Show between 9 and 10 a.m. and every early Wednesday night just after midnight.
In 1879, a small group of believers and practitioners of the new spiritualist movement journeyed to a destination a few miles south of Niagara Falls and founded the community of Lilyville, a meeting place for mediums and metaphysical thought. Today, Lilyville is the oldest spiritualist community in America, and perhaps the world.
Many have come here lately, searching. They want to know where everyone went.
It was purposely settled as close to the Falls of Niagara as possible, believing the waterfall and the surrounding area held more than just natural power.
Jim. Some call him Big Jim because he's big. Or Big Psychic Jim because he is a big psychic. But his big clairvoyance has been blocked by grief, so he's come here seeking answers as to the whereabouts of his son, Little Psychic Jim. His boy went missing with hundreds of other aspiring psychics while on a psych hike in the Niagara Mountains. They sent in a dog to find them, but the dog went missing too. There have been several others visiting Lilyville, looking to locate loved ones who went missing on that same retreat. Some believe they were abducted by aliens. Some think they were swallowed by a landfill sinkhole in them hills made of trash. But most fear that the group of psychic water farmers who organized the retreat, a group known as the Sunflower Cult, has something to do with the mass disappearance. That's certainly what Annie believes. A nice couple that her and her husband used to hang out with, Soft Swap, also vanished. Maybe they are gone forever. Maybe they will come back someday, all weird and tripped out.
The founders and current inhabitants of Lilyville see the falls as a place of mystical significance, both haunted and protected by the most ancient of spirits.
Many are here in Lilyville, grieving, desperate, looking for answers. Here's one now, passing through the gates, street parking, grabbing her purse full of $10,000 that she's willing to exchange for contact, for peace of mind. How does it all work? This Lilyville industry.
Lilyville is not only known for their psychics, but they are also home of the world-famous Lilyville soft pretzels.
She asks where, she asks why again and again. She needs answers. Her hand clenches other hand. She wants to hear him one more time, find closure. She bursts into a weep. Her foot taps, mechanically. The churning leg milks her grief into the unseen pseudo-alchemical chambers working below.
Yes. This is the same Lilyville as the popular Lilyville soft pretzel chain, found in many rest stops along the East Coast.
Every drop of that grief is collected through a network of tubes, glass, and copper channels, terminating in bubbling beakers and fat-bellied iron vessels. The sobs, the moment of release, moaning, wailing, and all that waft from those in mourning, is pulled under the floorboards by hot vacuum filling tanks of longing and sorrow jars. Some of the last known glass jars on the East Coast. It's oozing through clear glass, smoking back up in a miasma that helps the seer see, helps the mediums make out the shapes in the invisible yielding air. Lilyville processed pain is the philosopher's stone of the mystics of this quaint little village.
In 1989, Marion Winfield of Lilyville started selling her unique soft pretzels on a roadside along a busy section of Route 33, and her salty, buttery, garlic-stuffed doughy knots were a hit.
Shelley is 83 years old. She's lived in Lilyville for the past 100 years, and she's still riding her bike through the streets every morning, dumping hot ash under the tombstones, washing the sacred stump. The look in her eye is alive, smelling of cardamom. Too viral. Ravishing is Shelley, with skin so youthful, blessed by the tears of joy and agony sucked out silently and mixed with the elixirs that moisturizes her skin, softens her dough. She parties. God, the parties here in Lilyville. All night, hard and frisky.
Full swallow.
I should have settled with the Mormon lady.
Mr. Small, a medium, never catches cold, has a mood like a rainbow, and has helped people connect to those on the other side. Well, he himself will live the long life on this side, thanks to the captured grief sweat boiled in flasks, prepped to be exchanged for the power to hear the dead crystal clear. The hazy sizzle of a ghost touch, quick as a flash, might have said, I wait for thee, my lovely sister, or was it, I'm watering my lovely toaster.
Her first Lilyville soft pretzel stand opened at the Angola Travel Plaza in 1991, and since then, 11 more stands have opened statewide and now include other flavors like salted caramel, jalapeno cheddar, and pizza.
A transformation takes place. An excess of pathos in one end, and magic out the other. Out the window, one can see the pet cemetery, where the locals bury their loyal animal companions and children under five. Into the blonde helmets go the gravity. Mothers mourning their dead kids, kids missing their dead folks. Lonely husbands and wives waiting for the message with open wounds crying out to suture themselves with the stitches of a sign, a door, an assurance that the dead are at peace and joinable. It has a smell, a weight, and even a taste. Such things as a deep cup of regret and hot, fresh anguish, hotter than a pretzel straight out of the oven.
Back in July, there was nothing. And then actually days later, the stuffed animal appeared because last Christmas...
At an average reading, no less than a giant spirit can be contacted, given the right dose of trap fumes rising up from the reservoir of countless tears, waxing the faces of the bereaved with a lavender Vaseline, as if waiting for the pressing of a jelly death mask mold to be sold at a later point at the local ghost shop. Lilyville, neither sinister nor beneficent, neither scam nor bargain, a duty-free shop on the borders of life and death and science and spirit is all. Come, bring your deepest feelings. They shall be cooked, smoked, and snorted through old seance cones for stronger cuticles and clairvoyance skills. Here's another customer. Did you feel it? Did you see it? Want, saw, what, see, speak, you, wait, can't, what, tick you. A ripoff? No, not quite. The moisture is the message.
Another little known fact, microwaves are not allowed in the town of Lilyville.
And ultimately, the seekers are told what they want to hear. The psychic hikers will return. Drip, drip. They miss you and love you. Drop, drop. You will wake up someday soon and they will be there as if nothing happened. Plop. And there is some truth to it. The seers know. They will return. But in what form, they cannot tell.
Because I don't look on the internet to find, you know, that you can just go right to the internet, you can look, you know what beanie babies are? No, I mean, as a intuitive, you can't really see my room, right?
Next, we're going to hear 2023 new music from Shay Lingo, Roger Taylor, and Queen. This is My Radio.
Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Grandma said I got the soul of an old man, so even when the signal dropped and I lost her, I stuck to the program. Cause time ain't waiting for no man. She tried to cool me before she passed. We used to talk on a lot of things. Presented her views better than the news. So I tuned into that, not the politics. When my frequency dipped, she was propping it. She did it with me, a broadcast on a roadmap that's been helping me navigate populace. Now I got a grip like an octopus. So whether we parlayed on the dark days or the ways that we channeled were topicless, she gave me the tools and I got it fixed before it rained and it rolled in my consciousness. Yeah.
I sit alone and watch your light. My
dip, cause it can get stone cold in these streets, and they love to chisel the consequence. Why you think I got chip on my shoulder, kid? Like a dog with a bone, I'm a Doberman. Getting lit and recording a sober bitch. Now they gave me the wisdom, I wrote with it. Now they gave me the wisdom, I wrote with it. Come and sit with me, baby, it's been a while. The devil got a lot of different styles. If they try and lock you in so they can push the agenda, it's okay to spin a dial. The white noise can be very loud. If the volume confusing, then bring it down. Realign the antenna and bring it down. Don't let them play with your vision now.
Your light, my only friend, through teenage nights, and everything I had to know, I heard it on my radio.
The only one I listened to, she was my radio, yeah. Wish I could jump back in with you.
All right, next we have new music from 2023 from John Cale. This is called Noise of You.
Thank you. Welcome to New American Radio, a series exploring new territories for the art of radio.
In its 10 years as a weekly national series from 1987 to 1998, New American Radio commissioned and distributed over 300 original works: conceptual new drama, associational documentary, language explorations, sonic meditations, environmental compositions, musical explorations, and works that pioneer new dimensions in acoustic space. Wave Farm is thrilled to partner with New American Radio to ensure these works remain available to listeners today and into the future. New American Radio was organized by Helen Thorington, executive producer, and Regina Beyer, associate producer. A special thanks to both Helen Thorington and Joanne Green for their generous support and collaboration in this partnership. Up next is Napoli by Roberto Paci Dallo. Thank you for listening.
Italy, Italy, Italy. Italy, Italy, Italy.
Mezzanotte me lo dici, mezzanotte me lo dici, mezzanotte me lo dici.
anni si è parlato di abbatterlo, cosa. Veramente non si è mai fatto, perché lui fu furbo, lo fittò e lo vendette a famiglie popolari.
Mai sono state, ma anche i soldi per chiamare i clienti, sono stati attaccati in mano, non è che una foto di una stessa faccia.
Ma tutto il rombo siamo attaccati, però
fammi ricordare un momento all'inizio là sopra quando va a chiamare e poi la seconda strofa come dice no?
Se è fatta notte e il padrone piange, dice che è stata corta la giornata. Zitto, padrone, non piangere di più, e non mancate voce, tu faccio di mano. Se è fatta notte e il padrone piange, dice che è stata corta la giornata. Zitto, padrone, non piangere di più, e non mancate voce, tu faccio di mano. Se è fatta notte e il padrone piange, dice che è stata corta la giornata. Zitto, padrone, non piangi di più, e non mancate voce, tu faccio di male.
Vota di catamisa avvocata. Vota di catamisa avvocata. Vota di, 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 vota di. Ecco morta.
Che è stata corta la giornata.
Alice, Alice, Lea!
Da capo, vai, da capo. Ah, è una prova questa.
Just heard Napoli by Roberto Paci Dallo, broadcast by New American Radio.
For some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.